If you will, same old song, second chapter. Go with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We almost preached this, and I thought we was going to. This past week, one night, I don't even remember what night it was now. But we give an introduction to this. We actually went to two different places and give an introduction to this, explained it out some, and lo and behold, left it all together. Didn't touch no more on it from there on out. But as we get into that of the Word of God, you pray for us just a little bit, sis. I'll assure you, He won't bother us a bit. Don't you let that bother you one bit. I'm used to it, and all churches are already used to it. The Bible said that perfect praise comes from that of the mouth of babes. Amen.
Yeah.
And I thank God, for they are some that have some perfect praise to lift up unto that of our Lord and Savior. The Bible says, and I don't know where we started reading the other day when we started this, probably not the same place, but the Bible says in chapter 4, and we'll start about verse 14, or verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
And so shall we ever, not sometime, not for a little while, but forever, be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one with another."
Yeah.
"Comfort ye one with one another with these words." And, church, as we read this, we see that of a great rejoicing time that is going to take place one day at a while with that of the Lord. But, a lot of times we don't see this. There's a downside to it also, amen. And that's what I want to deal with just a little while tonight. And start with the downside of this and bring it back into the upward appearance of that of God. But I want you to think about this just for a little while. And then in the thought, I want you to think about left behind. Amen. That's a sad thought to think of, that every time I have to stand, teach, or preach, in the midst of a preacher preaching a message like this, it melts my heart thinking about how close I could have come a journeying through life in that of the ways of the world. And then a recap about that where my children would be today. Probably out here in some bar, laying drunk, dad probably wouldn't even be around. That breaks my heart to think about. God put them in my care and I could have led them astray. Down a road where they would have had no hope. Church, listen tonight. I want you to dwell on being left behind. You know, the book of Matthew says there in chapter 24, verses 40, 41, and 2, I believe it is. He said that they shall be two in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. He said they shall be two women grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. I want you to think about this just a little bit, moms and dads. What would it be like to wake up some morning? You look over beside you and you see the garments of that of your husband that he was wearing there the night he went to bed. But the body is gone, the clothing is there. When you go through the house seeking for that of your children, and you find nothing but the garments of that. The children that lay in bed that night, shortly sometime during the day, it was slaked in. Their eyes been left behind. My husband, they've gone on before me. But the mercy of God has been shut. My friends, when God shuts the door, there's no man can open it. Amen.
Come on. Amen. Preach.
I remember a man there in the book of Genesis by the name of Noah.
Yeah.
Now, this man was a righteous man in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And the Bible said that this was a man that walked with God, amen? He knew God personally. And we began to get into that of the book of Genesis. Now this is some 1,665 years after the time of Adam, up to the time of Noah. And the world had been finished and it had been multiplied up through that of man. And where God gave commission under that of Adam. My friend, we go from Adam. 1,600 years later, a man stepped on the sea by the threat of the name of Noah. And the Bible looks down with all the finishing in that of the land. Upward man is multiplied across the land of the sea. And now, friend, we find that God came down. Up there, he looked upon man. He saw how that they had been married and given in marriage. And the sons of that of God came down under that of the wind. Here upon the earth, and my friend, they begin to mingle together, and the Bible said they brought forth out of the sea and brought forth out of man a mighty man, men of valor. They were giants into that land, and God said within that of his heart, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man, and he said, man shall be 120 years.
Blessed Lord.
There's a lot of people in that, Brother Jerry. You know what God's doing right there? He just hung his time clock.
Yeah.
He started the countdown. Brother Tony, he started the countdown. From that point, God started counting down the days in which man shall be destroyed.
Yeah.
Now get this. He said it shall be 120 years. Here Noah was there, and during some span of time, we find at this time, at this point, in this place, Noah was 500 years old.
Yeah.
And there for some time, no doubt, Noah struggled and dibbled around and wondered and probably spent a lot of time crying out and pleading to God and seeking mercy from that God, from that of God, that there was a time and place at the right point in the right time that Noah found something he had not found for 20 years. And the Bible said he found grace in the eyes of God. He found grace in the eyes of God. Now 100 years is left. Noah, 500-year-old, spent about 20 years seeking out this of God. You've got somewhere between 75 and 100 years it took to build this boat. Now here Noah was a man of righteousness. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
The first preacher that was ever recorded in the Word of God was a man of the name of Noah. Can you imagine what it must have been like as he stood out there and he built upon a boat where rain had never before fell from heaven? He was warning the people it was always watered by the dew that came up from the earth. And how much they must have mocked him building a big ship out in some desert where there was no water even around, Brother Tony. But yeah, it hindered him not. He kept on building on the building, amen. As the brother talked about, he kept right on and preaching the word of God, giving heed and warning to those that were out there. All the mockery and everything that was going on, it pleased not that of Noah. Why? Because Noah had got a hold of something that he was going to continue to hold on to. And there was not enough of devils in hell to strip him from him.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
Come on. Beat this right along. Now the Bible said that whenever the floods began to come and the rains began to come, at this time now Noah was 600 years old. The time clock that God had hung had now run out. He said, gather up all the animals. He said, by those that are clean, you gather them up. Those that are clean, you gather them to two, the unclean by two, and the clean by seven. He said, you gather them up and you bring them on the ark, two by everything, living thing upon the face of the earth. You gather them in and bring them into that of the ark. And then you take you and your wives and your sons and their wives and you bring them in. This was left. And when they got in, the ark or the door of the ark was not closed. The Bible said God shut it.
That's right.
The effort to closing something, shutting something.
Right.
Now, man, you, my friend, you close something, you're juicy on the outside, pushing inward. But you shut something, you're juicy on the inside, pushing outward. Amen. I believe God shut himself up in their weapon. I to let them know that have communication up there in the midst of that ark. Now, this is where it gets a little tipsy. These Bible scholars everywhere, they're arguing this, read this, and that, and everything, and I keep proving what I'm fixing to say, but I'll give you my opinion on it. Amen. I've heard them say many times there's no way in this world that Noah and his family could sit in that ark and hear the screams and the cries of those that were dying and perishing out there because God ain't that kind of God.
Yeah, come on.
I want to show you something. What happened when that flood was over? The land had bathed and dried up for some eight, nine months that he stayed inside that ark. Yeah. What was the first thing that took place after he took everything off? There was a great fear in Noah's heart. The Bible said the first thing he done was erect that altar.
That's right.
He was going to get down to God right then. He done heard enough, seen enough, and went all the way through that. But all of those that were standing on the outside, they had loved ones that were perishing, only the children, those babes that had not yet reached the age of accountability, they went on to be with the Lord. But my friend, they were teenagers, young adults, all the way. But that perished in that flood, they perished without no hope.
Amen.
Yeah. Lord help you. And they hear the cries of those that were going down, down, and down. They was probably running and grabbing on every limb, trying to climb upon the highest mountain to escape the wrath of God that was now being poured out.
Right.
I'm telling you, I believe Noah's heart was broke because he had loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 Peter, the Bible says, Noah and that of his family, there all was eight souls saved. God started this thing to populate the world with two people, Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve.
Yeah, amen, brother.
The second time he decided to repopulate the world, he used eight people.
Right.
Each one paired up with that of their own kind. Amen. Right. A male with male, and a male with female, the husband and the wife, and the husband and the wife of that of Noah's sons and their daughters, or wives. It worked too, you know. It worked. Let's jump over about another 1,100 years after this event. Let's go about another 1,100 years on over. There's another man jumped on the scene. His name's Abraham. A dear, dear, precious son of God. It ain't too many chapters over there you find Abraham, but it took a lot of years to get there. But there was a man there in the Word of God that was Terah, and Terah gave birth to three different children there, three different sons. One of them was named Abraham, and another was Nahor, and the other was Haran. And Haran brought seed unto us for that, and gave unto us that of a child named who?
Lot.
Lot being Abraham's what? Nephew. The Bible said that they come together and they rested together and they gathered everything they had together down there in the land of Uz. And they began to take a far journey into that and heading to that of the promised land that God had promised into that of the seed of Abraham. The Bible said after they got up there, they began a division between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Abraham turned to Lot, his nephew, and he said, listen, there's strife amongst your herdsmen and my herdsmen, and it's a cause and a lot of conflict in the land of our family. Are we not brethren? Are we not all brethren? But there's conflict. He said, let me tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you, if you choose the right hand, I'll take as far as you can see it on the left hand. But if you choose the left hand, I'll go as far as you can see on the right hand. And the Bible said, that Lot began to look down in the plains of that. My friend, down in the plains of that, going on, and there he saw the pleasures of that of the greenery and how it was watered. The Bible said it was likened to that of the land of Egypt. It was well watered and well nourished, and herbs of every kind sprung up.
Right.
No man needed nothing. The Bible said that while Lot went down there and he pitched his tent for the city of Sodom.
Yeah.
For the city of Sodom.
Yep.
And after a few years went by, God again began to hear the cries and the outpouring cries and that of sins of that of Sodom and Gomorrah that began to come up before him. God said this, I'll destroy those cities. I'll destroy them for the wickedness. Abraham was a compassionate man.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of compassion about him, see it? He wasn't so gung-ho like a lot of them was.
That's right.
I mean, he said, well, yeah, let's go down and kill them out now. Let's get away with it.
Yeah.
We'll be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
No. God said, I'll destroy him. But Abraham showed compassion.
Mm-hmm.
He rose up and said, Lord, will you not destroy 50 righteous men?
Mm-hmm.
America's all in, man.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see America fall just a little bit? God said, no, I'll not destroy it if I find unity. And he said, what about 40? Oh, America's getting a little smaller. He said, no, I won't destroy it if I find 40. Well, Lord, what if you find 30? He told him, America ain't going to be here. He said, no, I won't destroy it if I find 30. He went all the way down to 10. And he ended his sleep argument right there with the Lord. He said, no. He said, if I find 10, I won't destroy it. Can you imagine? And Sodom. And it wasn't only Sodom that all you should preach about, but the Bible says that he destroyed not only Sodom, but Gomorrah and all the great cities around. All of them. There was children that was fixing to be devoured from hell, from that of heaven. The Bible says, he said there were two of them standing in the city of Sodom there to deliver Lot and his wife and two daughters out. Church, I want to tell you something. It's as real, and it gets real. And a lot of people may hear this, say, I've heard it for years. Let me tell you something. Since 1947, when Israel became a nation, the prophecy was made over 1,000 years back, brother Tony. Way back in the generations. The prophecy was made with that of God himself that Israel would once again become a nation.
Right.
Now we see in 1947 Israel has rose up, become that nation, and the prophecy is fulfilled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And ever since then, they've been prophesying this one right after another.
Yeah.
We sat idly by for some 800 years or 400 years before we even seen a prophecy happen. Then whenever Israel becomes a nation, it just starts banging, wanging right over.
Praise God.
There shall be wars and rumors of wars. The book of Job says, your daughters, the daughters shall rise up against the mothers in law, against the sisters in law, against their daughters, and the sons against the fathers. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today that we live in. It's the children that's running the home instead of the
parents.
Bless you, Lord. Now, Joy and Roy used to sing a song. The Bible in the veil, I believe it needs brought back. Amen. I'm a firm believer in it. We was brought up that way.
Yep.
I believe they got more of the Bible, and I got all the left.
Amen, brother.
That's about the way I feel. It happened. But let me tell you something, church. Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said it came a time that Lot and his wife and daughters came out. He told them, you go, and don't you look back. They had love on the time that ship.
Yeah.
What would you do if God told you to believe and don't you look back on that chance ship? Don't you look back. You go, I'm fishing to do something here and you don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fishing to cause something to happen and you don't want to see it.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible said they journeyed on and lost wife. Look back.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You can't make it to heaven thinking you've got it.
Amen.
You can't do it. This ain't a thankful thing, it's a not so thing.
That's right. Yeah.
The Bible says you look back, she is cast into the pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done for that as a memorial unto us.
Right. Remember lost one.
Church, I want to tell you something. In 29 years, me and my wife, she's not seen them all, but she's seen the most of them.
have seen 20, either 23 or 27, I can't remember, people that have came to the altar. I thought they saved. The family thought they saved. The church thought they saved. Everybody thought they saved.
Yeah.
But somehow, and what's the odd, I wasn't preaching on the lost. I wasn't preaching on somebody lost. I wasn't preaching on somebody backsliding. I was preaching on the blessings of God and pressing in every one of those messages where they came and gave their life to the Lord and give testimony that they lived all their life thinking they were saved.
Yeah.
You know what, church? My wife and me, we've seen with your testimony.
Yeah.
And you know what? Is your testimony from that? Someone like that, he'll stand the herd on the truth, let me tell you. Oh, what? If I went to hell breathing, I was going to heaven. What could I have done? I'm going to say something. You listen to me, we're fixing the clothes. And we're fixing the clothes here just in a very short minute. What would it be like? Well, let me say this. Man cannot pray your prayer to God.
That's right.
Man's words will tell you to say to God is not going to do you a hell of
a Amen. That's right.
The Bible says, search out your own, so salvation was built in fear and trembling. Don't let somebody do it for you.
Right. Amen.
Practically every one of them that I seen get saved. I seen a lot of folks saved, but they were 23 or 27 that I know got saved. For the first time in some of them, 20 years or longer, living and thinking they were where they needed to be.
Yeah.
There was over half of them was thinking they're saved because man said, repeat this after me.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
And the other half got saved because man told them, well, all you got to do is believe in God, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If that's all it takes, Satan would be back in heaven.
Yeah.
Because the Bible said even Satan, even the devil's believe, and they turn from.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll tell you what it takes. It takes the Holy Spirit of God within you.
Come on, brother.
Within you.
Amen.
And you realize and think something's not right. They something all these years I thought was right, but now I'm feeling it ain't right. It takes that first. I'm going to tell you what else. After you see this, and after you feel this, and you recognize this, and you realize you missed the mark, you've got great hope. Great hope.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we can believe a lie and be damned.
Yeah.
I know about 23 or 27 people that were believing a lie and damning their soul to hell. Because of man. Because of man. We're going to bring this thing on high note and then we're going to be done. Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said that it rained hail down out of heaven, brimstone. And it said it destroyed that city. And even to this day, it's nothing but an ash pile. It's never been re-erected. There's nothing could ever grow there again. It's a burned place that can no longer ever have life again. Not only that, but the cities around
it.
That was a lot of people and a lot of loved ones that went down by the way of fire. You know this. We've got children. We've got teenagers. You listen to me. You might have just got saved in the last 2 or 3 years. You might have just got saved in the last 3 or 4 months. Listen, if you truly got it, you got what it takes to get those teenagers that's out here in the woods and on drugs. You've got them now a light to shine to them that one day, after a while, they may be able to see. Well, I've kind of done all things to do. I'm afraid my life's going to run out before I can do what I need to do. I'm going to tell you something. That altar right there, every knee that's bowed before that altar prayed for a child, that altar or that prayer will never go unnoticed by God. Long after you've gone, God will revisit the prayer that you laid up and under the holy altar to that God.
Yeah.
I prove that in my life. God said he had no disrespect to persons. You go to the book of Revelation, God said that he looked and under the altar and the prayer of the saints. So if you're looking under the altar for those of men of old, don't you think you're going to look in the altar of ours?
Amen.
It's never too late.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, the worst lie you can tell yourself
is a lie, a false hope. It will destroy your soul. There's good news, church. There's good news. We find there, and there was St. John's Gospel, or Luke's Gospel. It says, neither can they die, this is talking about thanks God. Bring us back upon the high note. Neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angels and children of God, being the children of the resurrection.
Amen.
Church, you have got hope not only for you to go home, you've got hope for them children to come on behind you. But it's going to take you. It's going to take you laying up everything you've got. It's going to take you forsaking the things that don't need to be in your life and totally walking the light and walking upright before them for the true God to shine into the dark and deep hearts.
Amen.
I thank God. Now my son probably remembers when I wasn't in church. He was 6 years old when I finally got to church. My daughter was 2, I think. He may turn 3, he may turn 7. I've said this many times. I'd kill for either one of them in a heartbeat. You didn't jump on my kids. There's a few school teachers and the principal who found out. You didn't tell my kids they couldn't bring the word of God. My children eat up well, they ready to see daddy come to school. And then they oh no, here you go. I need a heart and sack of my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. I've died for him, I've killed for him. I'm going to tell you how much I love him, brother. I love him just enough to get him to follow me to the road that led to him. That's how much I love him. Just enough to get him to follow me to a place called hell. Mm-hmm. One day out here cries on my children in a place that could never be.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God. God broke his own heart, broke his own sinner's heart one day. And my recliner, on my old recliner, in my living room, my old recliner. Mm-hmm. I submitted my life to God, and I accept something I've been running from for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And that's to preach God's word. Mm-hmm. You know what happened? One by one, I started taking my family home. Mm-hmm. I started taking to a place called heaven to death. That's that.
Yeah.
First I seen my son come, gave his life to the Lord. Then I seen my daughter come a year or two later, 3 or 4 years later, give her heart to the Lord. I helped baptize my son and that of my daughter. My friend, it just kept getting better just every little bit. I see another family member come. This past January, this past year, my beloved elder sister came and gave her life to the Lord. 4 years ago, Bessie gave her life to the Lord. Church, it does nothing but get better. They didn't get married at all.
Amen.
And the blessings don't end there. He's just preparing us for the good stuff. Hey, we're just scratching the bottom of the cake pan right here. When do we get to that?
Oh, yeah.
That's the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
We find that John said, by the way, I say unto you, if any man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death.
Amen.
I'm glad some 20 or some 31 and a half year ago, I died my last day.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All I'm going to do is to go sleep for a while. And when I wake up, it won't be some wall over my head, but it'll be in the bosom of that of my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Church,
amen.
One more verse and we're going to close and you listen to this. John 11:26 says this, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe, he said this. He said, believe thou wilt. In other words, you take that to the bank. You die out. That's it.
Yeah.
Church has been one of the oddest revivals. The oddest revival I've ever been in my life. Started on the up note, high note, and it went that way all week.
Yeah.
About to kill me and Brother Jerry. I was there talking more, my voice is leaving, that's where you don't quit. But listen, church, don't say this. Here's the marks to prove whether or not you know the Lord and turn it on. You may not remember the date, you may not remember the year, even the month. But I'll tell you something you better remember. And you better know that there was some time in your life that you can remember. And you changed, and your life was changed.
Amen.
Because you submitted yourself to the Heavenly God, and He forgives you all the night. And you can remember how plain you felt
If you can remember that, my friend, you got a great thing going from here. Well, you remember the year, date, month, or anything else, or even the time, that don't matter. But you better remember a day, a time when your life was changed. It ain't a thanks for salvation.
Right, that's right.
It ain't a hope so salvation. I bet a lot of them that stood pounding on the doors of that ark before it ever happened, I bet they hoped that they could make it aboard if this thing does come to pass.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of them down in Sodom and Gomorrah thought that if any destruction is going to come to pass and come this way, that I'd make it out before it falls, but God blinded their eyes. They couldn't have got out if they had to. They were blinded. They were struck blind.
My friend tonight, listen to me. You may say that teenager, mother, father, whoever you are, you may say, well, what can I do? What can I accomplish? My fully living to God and fully submit my life to God, what can I accomplish? I'll tell you, you may be on the right, but when they listen, pleading to God.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get my family saved. I didn't get saved, but I walked up right before God to the very best of my ability.
Yeah.
And the proof is God. And laying all our prayers under that altar, I wore that altar out. I woke up on the altar, and I went to bed on the altar. And I was on the altar every time a church service happened. And I was laying up prayers and under that altar for God to visit the hearts of my children when they become of age. But they extended on out into loved ones and family. I'm going to tell you something. This is sad. I've got loved ones that's going on that I ain't got no hope for.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got no hope for them. Some of them will let die in a drunken state. That's all they wanted to do was drink. I ain't got no hope for ever seeing them again. But praise be to God for the hope that I have that dies for those I do have heaven seeing again. What can I do? You can shine a light to them. You can be the very one that leads them to the Lord. Let's stand, Eric, would you come get strong? Church, you listen to me tonight. Let me show you how. Let me show you where hell is tonight. One heartbeat away, you could wake up in the pit of hell. The same way the bosom of Abraham. One heartbeat away, and you could wake up in a place called paradise. That's how quick it is. Sixth to have it in 28 minutes I have been preaching. How many can tell me what the statistic says about how many people's died within that time?
Yeah.
How many? At least five every minute. Five every minute somebody's died. Every minute five people die. There's probably more than that. A lot of these guns going down, the statistics have changed a lot more than that. Since I looked that statistic up, you think about that. Somebody's met hell in that. There's been many a one met hell tonight thinking they was going to go. Church, it's real, it's sincere, and you will not play with God, and you will not slide anything by God. God knows it all, even the very hairs on your head is numbered. He knows forever sparrow that falls from the eye. You think you can hide from God? I can hide from God, keep doing it. All right, would you sing? Church, can you remember the day or the time when a change came into your heart? What God giving you time to bring others in, or that of your family, your household? You may be here tonight and honestly say, I don't think my light's shining as bright as it needs to be for my loved ones. I don't think my light's near as bright as what it needs to in order for my loved ones to see a light and pass to lead me out of this darkened state. We can come. There's no shame in it. God gave me the opportunity, I'd run to this altar. I'd run to this altar in hopes that it may bring a loved one into the will of God. Oh, they give me life whatsoever that I had in my life that was hindering a work of mine, a work that of the Lord. I get rid of it. I get rid of it. Your loved ones are more than part of that. Your soul is more than part of that. My friend, if I can save you, I'd do it in a heartbeat. If I can heal you, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I can't do it. But thank God, I know one who can.
Lord,
Lord,
think about this.
Lord, I want to go to hell.
Hell, that's where all it comes.
Hell,
heaven, I'll call it.
That's
the difference, is a life of crucial torment. A life of torment that endures forever. There's going to come a day. When the mercy door is going to be shut, and those that are left that is missed alone, you're going to endure affliction, you're going to endure punishment, you're going to endure suffering like you never endured before, and it will be so bad your life and the path of the hill and the mountain will fall upon you, it'll kill you, but death will not visit you. Cannot be killed in this time.
Heaven is an awful, awful place.